This show is not intended for the politically correct or the close-minded. Enter at the risk of opening your eyes. You have been warned.
Why does the media attack an issue? To get primetime ratings?
My line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in.
The Army Air Forces has announced that a flying disc has been found and is now in the possession of the Army.
A moment comes when we step out from the old to the new, and when the soul of a nation, long suppressed, finds utterance.
Kind of catapult the propaganda.
You are listening to Open Eyes with your host, Ira Robinson. From the normal to the paranormal, from government cover-ups to the depths of our consciousness, we aim to explore all things. From the dawn of prehistory to current events, no topic is forbidden and nothing remains hidden.
No more secrets.
Open your eyes and open your mind to the fact that life as we know it is not as we have been taught. Join us at latenightinthemidlands.com or openeyesnetwork.com as we take this brief journey through the depths of the cosmos and explore what it really means to be human.
Many peoples have sacrificed their liberties only to learn to their sorrow that deceit and mockery, poverty and tyranny are their reward.
Whether you're online or offline, intercontinental or intergalactic, hello, and welcome to Open Eyes. Guys, today is Monday, March 23rd, 2015, and I have a really big week in store for you. I always say that, don't I? But I really mean it this week, as opposed to all my other weeks, right? Tonight, I'm going to bring you the subject of mind control, and that not only includes like the idea of the alphabet agencies doing their types of mind control techniques and so on and so forth, but the type of mind control as well that we are subjected to on a daily basis just in the general population. There is a lot of it that goes on, and I'm going to cover as much of it tonight as I can within the short amount of time that I have with you guys. Hopefully you guys get a lot out of it. On Wednesday, I'm going to bring you the subject of UFOs. It's one that I have not really touched on at all on this show recently. I think I did a few months ago, but it's been a while. And I wanted to bring you some information out from information that I found. Basically declassified documents of officials actually speaking about UFOs and the subject of aliens. And you guys are going to have a really interesting time listening to that one, I think. That'll be on Wednesday. So, again, tonight we're going to talk about mind control. And by the way, if you missed it, last night I was on Ryan's Gable's show, The Secret Teachings. I was on for the full 3 hours of his broadcast, and it was a really good episode. I think that you guys should go into the archives of his at thesecretteachings.info and listen to the show there. You can also listen to it from the latenightinthemidlands.com archives as well. It was a really good show. I had an excellent time talking to Ryan about all of it. And in fact, I'm going to actually be on his show again this coming Sunday. Let me see, what would that be? On March 30th, I believe it is. Anyways, Sunday, this coming Sunday, I'm going to be on. We're going to speak about Easter and some of the origins of Easter, as well as the modern day interpretations that have been kind of co-opted by religion and all of that stuff. It's going to be a very interesting time. I think that you guys would really get a kick out of listening to it. So again, if you missed it last night, go into the archives and take a listen. I do have a little bit of personal news for you. Tonight I am speaking to you after having had about 5 or so days of really bad pain going on in my knee. My right knee has just been absolutely killing me. It's like I've just been in agony constantly with it. Have no clue what was causing the issue. I have a feeling that it was maybe kind of my old friend Arthur, arthritis kicking in and the weather changes and all of that kind of stuff. But, you know, we got this natural remedy that I had forgotten that we had. It's been sitting on our shelf for a really long time, and we kind of forgot that it was sitting there. And I ended up using it today. And within about a half hour or so, the pain is gone, and it has not really bothered me ever since. So I'm going to call it out right here on my show. I'm absolutely going to recommend it. It's called Soothenol X2. Soothe, the word soothe, A-N-O-L, X2. It's by a company called North Star. And this product is just absolutely amazing. It's made with cayenne pepper extract, mint. Let me see. I think there's some sarsaparilla in it. There's just a lot of different things that are in it. And it's just kind of one drop will do you. You know, you put one drop on a cotton ball and kind of spread it over the skin wherever it is that you're hurting. And I don't care if it's muscular or bone or whatever, any kind of ache or anything along those lines, boy, it's going to take it right out. It's an amazing product. We've used it for a really long time now, and I can't believe that I forgot that we had some of it left. I thought that we were all out, and it turns out we actually had just a little bit more. Now, I warn you guys, it's not really all that cheap. It's a small bottle, but that one bottle will last a really long time. It's, like I said, it's kind of one drop will do you. And I'm actually going to put a link for it on the show notes for this show, which will be at openeyesnetwork.com/OE086. I'm going to put a link to the place that you can pick it up. And I really recommend going and pick it up. It's not an affiliate link. I'm not going to get anything out of it. I'm not looking to make a sale here or anything like that. But boy, it really is just amazing. It's just a product that I have encountered in my days that I can honestly say, without a doubt, grab it, because man, it is amazing. So I do have some other news for you guys. Do you guys remember hearing anything about the Mars One project? This is a project that was kind of going on that they're looking to be colonizing Mars. And they're sort of doing it in conjunction with the whole NASA program that they're doing. This is sort of a civilian project that was being put on. And it's been getting a lot of play in the media over the past, I guess, about 2 years or so since they did the announcement of it. Well, I have some news that I ran across regarding it, and I wanted to make sure that you guys heard about it, because I know that a lot of my my listeners have talked to me about it before, and I want to make sure that you guys hear this news in particular. So the article that I ran across says, earlier this week, a colonist candidate for the one-way mission to Mars broke his silence and spoke out against the Mars One project, calling the selection process dangerously flawed. After filling out an application, mostly out of curiosity, former NASA researcher Joseph Roche, now of Trinity College, became one of 100 finalists to live in permanent settlement on Mars. In his interview with Elmo Keep for Medium, Roche expressed his many concerns, ranging from inaccurate media coverage — there were only 2,761 applicants, not 200,000 as the media was saying — to Mars One's psychological and psychometric testing, or lack thereof, to how leading contenders earned their spot. He says they paid for it. A quote from him: when you join the Mars One community, which happens automatically if you applied as a candidate, they start giving you points. You get points for getting through each round of the selection process, but just as an arbitrary number of points, not anything to do with ranking. And then the only way to get more points is to buy merchandise from Mars One or to donate money to them. And if media outlets offer payment for an interview, the organization would like to see 75% of the profit. As a result, the most high-profile hopefuls, he says, are those who brought about the most money. So far, he's completed a questionnaire, uploaded a video, got a medical exam, took a quick quiz over Skype, and not too much else. Despite making the final 100, Roche has never met anyone from Mars One in person. A planned multi-day regional interview seems to have been canceled. So essentially, this is turning out to be sort of a Kickstarter campaign type of situation going on. They're looking to earn $6 billion through a reality TV show, which they've been lacking funding from. The company that they were originally going to have producing the show basically has folded. Essentially, this is turning out to be one big scam, and that's a big concern, but it's not really surprising, right? There are a lot of these type of things that are going on out there in the world right now, and a lot of people are kind of jumping on the bandwagons with the stuff. You have to be really careful, guys. You have to be careful of who you toss your money to and what they may be up to with that money. I actually discussed the subject of how donating can actually be a problem for you karma-wise in a previous episode. You guys should go back in my archives and listen to that. I just talked about that last week. Okay, so the next article that I have is one that I've actually really hardcore paid attention to. I really wanted to make sure that you guys heard about this one. A team of chemists working at the MRC Laboratory of Molecular Biology at Cambridge in the UK believes that they have solved the mystery of how it was possible for life to begin on Earth over 4 billion years ago. In their paper published in the journal Nature Chemistry, the team describes how they were able to map reactions that produced 2 and 3 carbon sugars, amino acids, ribonucleotides, and glycerol, the material necessary for metabolism and for creating the building blocks of proteins and ribonucleic acid molecules, and also for allowing the creation of lipids that form cell membranes. They believe that they have found a way to show that everything necessary for life to evolve could have done so from just hydrogen sulfide, hydrogen cyanide, and ultraviolet light, and that those three basic ingredients, and that those building blocks could have existed all at the same time. In their paper, they report that using just those three basic ingredients, they were able to produce more than 50 nucleic acids, precursors to DNA and RNA molecules. They note that early meteorites carried with them ingredients that would react with nitrogen, already in the atmosphere, producing a lot of hydrogen cyanide. By dissolving in water, it could have very easily come into contact with hydrogen sulfide, while being exposed to ultraviolet light from the sun. And that, they claim, would have been all that was needed to get things going. So, quite a few times on my show, I have talked about the theory of evolution and how I don't entirely agree with the theory of evolution as it is stated by people. I think that evolution is a reality, yes, but not in the way that they say. I definitely know that adaptation exists. We see it every day. So a story like this, I think, is actually an important one because it does show that evolution could have happened. And a lot of people that are out there that are of the more hyper-religious kind of bent are going to look at this and say, oh God, you're crazy. But no, we're not crazy by trying to claim this type of thing. You know, it very well may be that God, whatever it is that you want to call God, used something like this to bring life about. Just because the Bible doesn't state it exactly does not exclude the possibility that this type of thing was actually in the mind of God to bring forward life in the universe. But it also shows that this type of thing, if it is true, which I don't doubt, I don't doubt that this would be a way that things could end up happening. It shows that life basically could exist anywhere and everywhere, because all of these different products, all of these different compounds exist pretty much everywhere. I mean, they're very common, right? So with that in mind, it brings us a step closer to the idea that life exists outside of this little blue dot that we're currently existing upon. And that's a good thing. That's something that I've been saying is a truism for many, many years now. And anybody who really says, no, that's not possible, kind of really needs to have their head examined. I mean, Drake's equation and the mathematics alone kind of exclude the idea that it's impossible for life to exist elsewhere. It's foolish to think otherwise. So I wanted to bring this story to you guys because this is kind of another drop in the bucket of ammunition, I guess you could say, to use when people start trying to say that you don't know what you're talking about when it comes to the idea of life existing outside of here. Microsoft founder Bill Gates has spent a lot of time in the field of vaccines and medicine, so much so that many consider him to be one of the world's foremost experts on vaccination and disease trends. He has spent millions of dollars of his own money investing in vaccine-related technologies and is a strong proponent of widespread vaccination programs. In his latest op-ed, Gates sends a stark message to political leaders and the general public, claiming that a virus, even deadlier than Ebola, may be on the horizon. According to Gates, should such a virus start spreading, the world is ill-prepared to handle it. So this is a portion of the op-ed that he did in the New York Times. I wanted to make sure that you guys heard this because this is from somebody who is basically one of the power elite trying to say what is necessary as far as vaccinations are concerned. The Ebola epidemic in West Africa has killed more than 10,000 people. If anything good can come from this continuing tragedy, it is that Ebola can awaken the world to a sobering fact. We are simply not prepared to deal with a global epidemic. Now, before I go further, please let me interject here that 10,000 people dying in Africa doth not a global epidemic make. How many people are existing in the world? Over 7 billion right now. 10,000 is not even a drop in the bucket, okay? Now, yes, granted, Ebola is horrible. Absolutely horrible. I've talked about it on my show a couple of times now. Ebola is horrible, and I would not wish it on my worst enemy. But there are a lot more deadly things out there than Ebola, okay? There are a lot more things out there that we need to be concerned about right here and right now that are destroying us in great multitudes compared to Ebola. Anyways, okay, so I wanted to interject that there real quick. Of all the things that could kill more than 10 million people around the world in the coming years, by far the most likely is an epidemic. But it almost certainly won't be Ebola. Well, gee, thanks. Other diseases, flu for example, spread through the air, and people can be infectious before they feel sick, which means that one person can infect many strangers just by going to a public place. We've seen it happen before, with horrific results. In 1918, the Spanish flu killed more than 30 million people. Imagine what it would do in today's highly mobile world. Now, he's not incorrect with that. He's not off track too far with that. But you guys know from my past shows that when it comes to vaccines, the main thing that I have an issue with is the fact that they use so many of these adjuvants in them that are absolutely dangerous, that are neurotoxic, that are deadly, that are on and on and on, that people like this guy who are doing everything that they can to push forward the forced vaccine agenda are doing the world a great disservice, and they know it. But that's a propaganda piece, basically, that he's put out. Yes, there are a lot of things that are out there that are deadly. There are a lot of things out there that are worthy of attention and worthy of making sure that we take care of. But we don't have any rampant epidemics happening right now, despite what the CDC might try to claim as far as measles are concerned. It's just, there are a lot more things out there to be afraid of than this type of thing. And I guess I have a major issue when it comes to those who are trying to push the forced vaccination agenda. It drives me crazy. You know, you guys know by now, it's definitely one of my pet peeves. So you guys know about the whole Hillbilly Clinton email scandal crap that's going on. I actually have not touched on it very much on my show because, guys, look, the whole thing really is a big distraction that's going on. It's being done to avert attention from other places, basically. But I wanted to bring it up tonight because there is something that I ran across that I wanted to speak to you guys about in regards to this whole thing that you could say would be very concerning, to say the least. Number one, let me get this part out of the way here. According to 18 U.S. Code Section 2071B, whoever having the custody of any federal record willfully and unlawfully conceals, removes, or destroys the same shall be fined or imprisoned or both and shall be disqualified from holding any office under the United States. So with this whole email debacle that is happening, that alone is enough to disqualify her from being a presidential candidate. Are we going to see that happen? Are we going to see her punished for her crimes? Are we going to see her punished for the destruction of over 30,000 emails? No. I guarantee we're not. She's going to get off lock, stock, and barrel. Of course, if you or I did something like, oh, I don't know, step off of our porch in the middle of a rainstorm and grab a cup of water of rain droplets and drink them, well, we're going to get fined by our local town folks because that's illegal in a lot of places nowadays, and they're going to be sure to get you about it. But the fact that she destroys 30,000 records, it's going to have nothing happen to her. I mean, look, guys, Richard Nixon did what? He destroyed like, what, 18 minutes worth of audio files and video? And he got kicked out. He resigned, okay, on the way to impeachment. Hillbilly's husband was on the way to being impeached for getting a Hummer in the White House. So where is her punishment? Where is her price to pay for the things that she's done? I don't see it happening. I really don't. I think that they're really on track to making her the next president, and that is something that should frighten every single one of us. It should be a nightmare to every single one of us. I know it is for me. But in relation to this, I wanted to play you guys a little sound clip that I have here. This is Hillary Clinton talking in front of a crowd, and this was just a matter of a couple of days ago at this point. I wanted you guys to hear this because there is something that's very concerning in this as well. So not only do we have her basically destroying all the records and so on and so forth, she's basically doing the electronic equivalent of tossing her computer systems into the paper shredders. But, you know, then she comes out with this.
As I have gotten older, I have decided we really need camps for adults. And we need the kind of camps that you all run. I mean, really, where, you know, none of the serious stuff, none of the, you know, life challenge stuff, more fun. I think we have a huge fun deficit in America. And we need to figure out how to fill that fun deficit, certainly for our kids, but also for the rest of us. You know, we've become in so many ways, a country that has slowly but surely figured out how to get along with more people from more backgrounds. But there are still differences that we need to get over. You know, I said the other day at an event that, you know, we're much less racist, sexist, homophobic, all of those things. But we sure don't want to spend time with anybody who we disagree with politically. I mean, that is just too stressful. So, you know, maybe mix it up a little bit. You know, you can have the red cabin, the blue cabin, have to come together and actually listen to each other. Wouldn't that be a novel idea?
Says one of the people who is one of the biggest political dividers out there. But anyways, that's kind of not the point. The point is that this person, this person is now coming forward and trying to bring forward the idea of adults going to camps. Now, of course, they did it in this humorous light. They did it in this joking kind of way, but you guys know about the whole FEMA camp stuff. You guys know about all of the agendas that are going on with all of that. So for this person who is on track to become president of the United States to be talking about adults going to camps, a little concerning. Anyway, so I wanted to make sure that you guys heard that clip. I don't know if you'd heard it before or not, but I've seen a lot of people passing it around, and I wanted to make sure that you guys heard it as well. It's very interesting. Yeah. Okay. So if you guys remember correctly, on Friday, I talked about the CERN was getting ready to start up the Large Hadron Collider. They were getting back to going back into business over there. And I said that they were going to be doing a really strange kind of dance before all of it got turned on. Well, I was correct. They were actually doing, I think it was, who is it? Will Ferrell? No, not that's the comedian. Farrell Williams, is that his name? Anyways, they did a dance to his Happy song. And yeah, it was really strange. I'm going to have a copy of the video up on my show notes for this show. Again, that'll be openeyesnetwork.com/OE086. If you want to take a look at CERN doing the Happy dance before they turned the Large Hadron Collider on. But one of the things that I ran across that I wanted to speak to you guys about in regards to CERN before I hit this break here is that it turns out I was actually, I think, correct in my statements that I said on Friday regarding what I thought they might be doing with it all. It turns out that in a couple of the experiments that they're going to be doing, they are actually going to be trying to break through to parallel universes and see if they can communicate with any beings that are on the other side in a search for extraterrestrial life within parallel universes. So I was correct. I hate to be, but I was correct with it. And very interesting times we live in. And hopefully that does not go into the Chinese curse for those of you guys out there who understand the reference. So again, I wanted to bring this information to you guys, wanted to bring it to light for you, because this is really concerning, guys. So check into it, do your research, figure out for yourself what's going on, and see if we can find the truth for it. I'm definitely going to be paying attention to what happens over there, and anything that I find out, I'll bring to you guys. So stick around with us. We'll be back in a few minutes after this break. We're going to talk about mind control, and I think that you guys are going to have a great time listening to it. So hold on. We'll be right back. Ben Franklin said, "If you do the same thing tomorrow as you did today, you're going to get the same tomorrow as you got today." Changing the world starts with you, and changing you starts with changing the way you think. Late Night in the Midlands can help. Listen to all of our shows at latenightinthemidlands.com, because things really do need to change.
The LNM Radio Network and Late Night in the Midlands depends on you, the listener. Without you, there would be no us. So help us continue to bring you the best guests with the best information and subscribe today. Information on becoming an LNM subscriber can be found at the top of LateNightInTheMidlands.com. Just click the About Subscriptions tab and become part of the family while helping the truth stay alive. And while you're at it, maybe subscriptions aren't for you. A one-time donation helps as well. Click that donate button on the right side of LateNightInTheMidlands.com and help us help you.
You may be suffering from OMS, Open Mind Syndrome. This disorder can be a burden on those suffering from it, as they see the insanity in the world around them. Symptoms of this disorder are likely to be not accepting the status quo, talking frequently about issues that are really important, studying things that are not acceptable by the mainstream thinking, and asking too many questions. This disease can spread rapidly, even over the internet and airwaves. It is becoming an epidemic. If you or someone you know suffers from open mind syndrome, do not seek help. It is apparent that this condition is actually the normal human response to information. In fact, it is best to interact often with fellow sufferers at LateNightInTheMidlands.com to remain open-minded. Open Mind Syndrome. It's no joke. Brothers at Arms is not about being militant, though there is a time and place where that is necessary. Brothers at Arms is not about arguing, though there are times where things may get heated. Brothers at Arms is not about who is right or wrong. There are many sides to each issue. Brothers at Arms is about exploring those sides, about dealing with the issues facing us today, about coming together and, through opposing views, understanding the deeper truths that are in the middle. Join Ira Robinson and Joe Long each Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on LateNightInTheMidlands.com as these Brothers at Arms discuss what you need to know. Brothers at Arms, it's about time.
Draw the line between protection of national security, obviously the government's need to obtain intelligence data, and the protection of civil liberties, particularly the sanctity of my home. You've got no right to come into my home.
The government's been in bed with the entire telecommunications industry since the 40s. They've infected everything. They get into your bank statements, your computer files, your email. Listen to your phone calls. Every wire, every airwave. You're talking to your wife on the phone, you use the word bomb, president, Allah. Any of 100 key words. The computer recognizes it, automatically records it, red flags it for analysis. That was 20 years ago.
Sooner or later, you have to bring in an element of persuasion, an element of getting people to consent to what is happening to them. We are in process of developing a whole series of techniques which will enable the controlling oligarchy to get people actually to love their servitude.
Well, hello there, and welcome back to Open Eyes. My name is Ira. I want to thank you guys for sticking around through that break. I know that sometimes the commercials can get a little frustrating. We all hate waiting around for the show to continue on, but, you know, the bills have to be paid, right? What bills? Okay, anyways, so tonight I wanted to talk to you guys about the subject of mind control and the things that are associated with it. And, you know, guys, we're surrounded by this type of stuff all the time. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, no matter who you're with, we're all sort of under this umbrella of society, society's control, society's grip on you and your psyche. And a lot of things that end up occurring are designed to put you into a state of control for whatever reason, whether that is good or bad. There is always some type of control structure occurring. So what I wanted to talk about first is some kind of matrix stuff. I have kind of a close connection with it, as some of my listeners out there may know. But so, you know, in the Matrix, when Morpheus is trying to hand Neo the choice between the red pill and the blue pill, you know, some people will look at that and say, well, you know, that was just kind of arbitrarily chosen, right? Well, not really. There's actually a deeper meaning behind the red and the blue. There is a connection that goes on in people's minds when it comes to colors, which I'm going to get into colors here later on as well. But basically, the blue pill, as being a choice for... Oh, sorry about the noise there. The blue pill, for being a choice for him to stay asleep, basically, was actually done with the psychology of people in mind. The color blue is actually one that is associated with relaxation and sleep. Let me read a little bit of an article that I ran across here for you, and you'll get the idea of what I'm meaning by this. Blue, blue, and blue. If not the package, then the pill itself. That's not coincidence. Researchers have found that the color of a pill makes a difference in how it works. In one study, every patient was given the exact same sedative, but some patients received it in a blue pill and others in an orange pill. The blue pill takers reported falling asleep 30 minutes faster and sleeping 30 minutes longer than the orange pill takers. So blue does have a very soothing and sedating effect. It relaxes somebody and it makes them more susceptible to the hypnagogic state. The hypnagogic state is essentially that point between wakefulness and sleep. It's that state of mind that people can go into to, essentially be programmed very easily. It's that state where people go to when a hypnotist is on the stage and tells them that they're a chicken. That's the hypnagogic state. So blue is sort of, I guess you could say, a very quick pathway to get people into that kind of a frame of mind. This type of thing it's kind of part of the placebo effect, I guess you could say. The placebo effect is the sort of effect that people can have when you give somebody a Tic Tac or something like that for a headache and tell them that it's medicine that will help them for it, and it will work, or at least most of the time it will. The reason why the blue pill, or why the color blue, was chosen there for the Matrix is because of that somnolent effect that blue has, as opposed to red, which is the color of strength and awakefulness and alertfulness. The color red, you'll see that in other pills that are designed to give people energy, you know, for instance. Like if you notice a lot of the energy caffeine manufacturers and all that kind of stuff out there, they use the color red in their on their boxes and in their marketing a lot. And that's because the color red is associated with attention and alertness. That's why it's a stop sign. That's why the color red is on the stop signs. It's because it's something that people inherently pay attention to. There was another study that was done in relation to all of this, actually, that researchers put different types of fake medicine packages in front of people, and the subjects would pick certain colors of boxes over others. So warm colors like browns and reds were perceived as being more potent, especially if the shades were of a darker style. Green and yellow, on the other hand, might as well have been basically poop laying there on the table, at least as far as the subjects were concerned. So again, I guess you could say the reason why heart medicines and that sort of thing are red, at least a lot of the time, is because of this effect, this placebo effect that goes on in people's minds. It's weird, you know, but it is the truth. So that is sort of where I want to start things off with all of this. There's another type of mind control technique that is used on people. And this technique is called priming. Now, priming is a weird one. This one goes into why we as people sort of act in the ways that we do, you could say. So with priming, I'll give you a great example of how priming is used. If you walk into a grocery store, a lot of grocery stores, especially ones around here, I know, but I know a lot of them across America do this. You walk into the grocery store and the first thing that you see is like a floral department sitting there. And you might think to yourself, well, why would they put flowers into a grocery store for people to be able to buy? Do people really go to the grocery store to buy flowers? Well, no, they don't. And they don't actually sell many of those flowers, but that's not the point of them being there. They're there arbitrarily, if that makes sense. What it comes down to is that what they're doing is this method of mind control that's called priming. When someone sees flowers, for instance, the thing that comes to their mind is freshness. So you see these flowers sitting there and things are like, oh, this is fresh. This is real. This is alive and vibrant. And what'll happen then is this mindset is on the person as they walk through the store. It stays with you for an extended period of time. So everything that you look at then is going to be looked at through the light of this freshness lens that's been put over your eyes, and you don't even realize it. So even a package of meat that's sitting there that is ready to expire, basically, you'll still be giving it this, oh, this is still fresh bias, just because when you walked in, you saw the flowers sitting there in front of you. So the grocery stores, they'll tend to use this type of thing as sort of a loss leader situation. So it's not really designed to sell the flowers. If they do, that's sort of arbitrary and a bonus. But the flowers, they're really cheap. It's extremely cheap for them to run that department. But overall, the benefit that they get out of having this there far outweighs any loss that they would be taking by having it there, because people are going to be more apt to buy things, even though they are very close to the expiration date. This would be things that they would have to throw away anyways. So a lot of times what they'll do is they'll put the flower department right by the produce department and also right by the bread department, because those are where the things will go bad basically the quickest. Those are the things that need to move the quickest, and where the perception of them being fresh is the most important. This type of thing is very well planned out. It's very well planned out, and it's very well thought out, because a lot of these companies that are out there, they understand the psychology of people, and they understand how easy it is to manipulate people, and manipulation is just a form of mind control. So they actually do it pretty easily. I mean, it's not that hard for them to do. This type of thing is the priming example is also seen when somebody has their room or their house smelling subtly of disinfectant, for instance. People are going to be more apt to keep that area clean. So a lot of companies will actually pump that sort of smell into the air ducts, so that this type of smell, this subtle disinfectant smell, gets spread around the workplace, and they find that they have to spend far less on janitorial services than when they don't do this type of thing. So if at your workplace you are always smelling this type of disinfectant type of smell, you know, sort of like a hospital room or something like that, you can know that what they're doing basically is they are priming you to keep your area clean, because apparently your people are really dirty. When people are primed with something, they will for a time basically react in whatever way you have primed them to do. There was an experiment that was done on people. Researchers, basically, they were doing this experiment where they took a groups of students at colleges, and they would ask them to repeat questions back to them, basically. But to form the questions or form the statements as if they were elderly people. So to use language that would be kind of old style or old timey to these people. And then they would show them pictures of elderly people while they were doing this. And what they ended up finding was that not only did the students react in the ways that they expected, so they actually answered the questions, or they would speak the statements and that sort of thing in this kind of old timey way, but as they were leaving the buildings that these experiments were taking place in, they would follow them. And what they would find is that the people would be walking kind of slowly and with limps and that sort of thing, as if they were essentially elderly themselves. And they would do it, yes, in subtle ways. It wouldn't be too an extreme, but there would be enough of enough of an obviousness to it that the researchers were able to discern that, yes, they were in fact actually acting as if they were elderly. So the just by them essentially having the person put themselves into the perspective of somebody who is elderly, they would actually start acting like these elder people would do. So again, it's a definite form of mind control. Now, you can see this exact same thing actually happening in other places as well. And to take grocery stores again as an example, you'll hear the music playing. The music that's playing is designed to put people into a buying mood and to put people into a mood where they are sort of elevated and happy to be there. So they're essentially, just by the music alone, they are creating an environment that people are desiring to be there for as long as they can. And as you well know, the longer that you stay in a grocery store, the more stuff you're going to buy. So department stores do this, grocery stores do this. It's why you always hear like that type of music in these places. It's not just for entertainment purposes. It's actually for mind control purposes. I give another example before of people going onto elevators, and a lot of elevators, they'll have that sort of elevator muzak playing. And the reason why they're playing stuff like The Girl from Ipanema instead of heavy metal death rap or something like that is because they want people to remain in a calm state of mind. So they'll pay attention to the music. And even if you're not paying attention to it, it's still getting into your brain, right? Even if you're not fully aware of it, it's still entering into your consciousness in one way or another. So it still has an impact on you. So instead of them playing the stuff that is going to make you feel a little bit more energetic and aggravated and that sort of thing, they play the stuff that's going to make you feel more relaxed, because people are in this enclosed space. They don't want to have problems start. People are literally going to be stepping over each other's toes. They're bumping into each other. There's all kinds of smells that are going on and everything. People get very annoyed within those kinds of enclosed spaces, especially when there's a lot of people in them. So you'll find that maybe in not so much in buildings where there's very, very, very low traffic elevator wise, you might not see this type of music phenomenon happening there. They might not be pumping it in. But in all of the places that is, you know, the elevators are much more used, they will do it because they have found that it does make a dramatic difference on the way that people actually think, act, and react to each other. So another way that priming works, and I know I'm kind of hitting this one a little hard, but it's an important one because this is one that really affects people, and nobody really knows about this type of mind control, right? So I want to make sure that you guys understand all of the ways that it works and the ways that it happens to us. So if you're seeing something on television, for instance, what you'll see if you take a second and actually notice how things work, you know, or how things are structured during the TV show, you will see a show or a scene that is right before the ads. Advertisers pay a lot more for placement in the circulation of the ad cycles, depending on how primed they want the customers or the potential customers, you know, the viewers, to be to their particular product. So as a, for instance, a long time ago, OnStar ran ads for its emergency vehicle service during a commercial break that essentially came right after a car crash scene in The Bourne Supremacy. So that's just an example. You can see that kind of primed people's minds. Now, they spent a lot of money to have that done, but what ended up happening was that they found that by doing this, by priming their customers like this, it made them twice as likely to buy their product. So it was very worthwhile for them to do. So these are the sort of weird, subtle ways that people can be mind controlled by these different companies and corporations into doing whatever it is that they want you to do. you don't even realize that it's happening to you. You don't even recognize that it's going on. I fall prey to it, you know, even though I know about all of these things, even though I was trained to actually do some of these things, I still fall victim to it because I'm a human being, right? We're pre-programmed with this stuff. We can't help it. It's part of our genetic makeup, essentially. And these companies, these corporations, they know that this is how people are. They know that this is how the human race is, and they take full advantage of it. They have spent billions of dollars in research to come up with the understanding of these things. So, of course, they are going to make every use of it to get their money back, right? At the very least. I mean, again, I've said it before, there are over 7,000 public relations firms just within the United States alone. And these public relations firms are all about understanding exactly how these things work. Social engineering is very, very alive and well, and people get paid a lot of money to come up with this stuff. Video games are subject to mind control as well. And no, I'm not meaning that you know, they turn you into some kind of raving lunatic that's out to kill everyone and their brother just because you picked up a controller and played Call of Duty for an hour or whatever. That's a ridiculous statement. In fact, there have been many studies, not to sidetrack too much here, but there have been many studies that have proven that there is no causal link between people that play video games and people that commit violent crimes and all of that kind of stuff. I don't care what you've heard about Columbine. I don't care about what you've heard about Sandy Hook, even though we know that that one was fake, right? And I have my suspicions about Columbine as well. But no matter what you think about any of the shooting sprees and people that go out and kill and all that kind of crap, I don't care what you've heard on the media. There is no correlation between people that play video games and people that go out and commit these violent crimes. It's like the same link can be made by saying that people who eat popcorn are more likely to go out and kill their girlfriends after they find them in bed with somebody. Okay. Just because you ate popcorn does not mean that you are a killer. It just means that you, like other people out there, eat popcorn, but in the regular course of your time period, you end up committing a crime, okay? It's the same difference. People out there, there are millions upon millions who play video games every single day. I've played video games my whole life, and I'm sorry, but I have not killed anybody even once, okay? So it does not turn you into some kind of weird killer zombie type of person. It just doesn't happen. And there have been multiple studies that have come out to show exactly that. So let's get that out of the way real quick right there, okay? Video games do not mind control you into becoming something that you're not. Okay, so what has been shown, though, as far as video games goes, is that there are ways that people end up blowing a lot of cash because they're essentially mind controlled into doing so. You see it a lot on the Facebook games, and I get so annoyed when people send me, you know, the invitations to play video games on Facebook. Please don't send them to me. If you're one of the type of people that plays video games on Facebook, go for it. Whatever, that's fine. Don't send me any invites for it. I do not play Facebook games, okay? It just doesn't happen. Anyways, so what ends up happening, though, when you play one of these games is it puts you into a frame of mind that you are very willing to spend money because you are spending so much of your time in the video game. And it's just like gambling at a casino. There really is no difference between the two. It's just the one, you're going to an actual casino to do it. And in the other, it's all through virtual currency. There are a lot of video games that are out there that do this type of mind manipulation on people. Definitely look into studies that are about that. If you're somebody that plays video games and you spend money on them, like on Facebook and that kind of thing, you definitely want to take a look into how the companies actually warp people's minds into spending massive amounts of money in these video games. I mean, they do it for a reason. They do it because they are big money makers. So now, of course, there's the thought of mind control that you generally hear about. You'll hear about the CIA or the FBI or any of the other alphabet agencies. They've been investigating this type of technologies, and they're really adept at it. And they definitely are. But before I get into those in particular, which I'm going to get to after I take my break here, which will be in a little bit here, I want to talk about some more subtle forms of mind control. And these are ones that are used on a continual basis. I mean, of course, there's the idea of propaganda. And I've talked about propaganda a few times in the past. You may have heard some of my episodes regarding propaganda and how it works. But basically, you know, propaganda is designed to, again, warp people's minds and warp their perceptions into doing things or thinking things that they normally would not do. I see it happening. I guess a good example that I can give would be I see this mass mind control going on with the racism issue. There are people that I know personally who I never would have thought of as being quote unquote racist or profiling or anything like that. Just not in their personality to do, you know, just not the type of person that would do that type of thing. But because of all of the events that have happened lately, like over the past couple of years, these same people have essentially started to have their mindsets changed into becoming much more of a racially divisive type of person. Excuse me. And they're not that type of person on a general basis. They're not somebody that I would have ever expected would have gone in that direction, basically. But they have. And the reason, I think, is not because of some kind of weird personality shift, like they woke up one day and boom, now they're, you know, a different personality or anything. I think that it has to do with the propaganda that has been going on regarding racism, that people who normally don't think anything of racism or have that kind of thing in their mind at all now suddenly are facing it continuously because of all of the protests that are going on, because of all of the other events that are going on, you know, that are very racially centric, right? And it's essentially it's warping their personality into becoming what the propaganda wants them to be. And I see this exact type of thing happening a lot. It's not just with the people that I know personally, but I've seen how the public perceptions have started to shift in weird directions. And again, I think it is because directly of this type of media propaganda that's been going on. It's been pushed to such a forefront that people are essentially not able to do anything but think about these things. And it's because of that, basically, that we're seeing a lot of the different changes that are going on. So, I mean, there are definitely a lot more forms of propaganda. If you want to go into my archives at openeyesnetwork.com, I have a few different episodes basically where I've gone into like exactly the types of propaganda, how it works, what you need to know to avoid it. All of that kind of information is available on my website. I definitely recommend that all of you go and check them out if you did not listen to them before. It's very important information, I think, because the more you know, the more you can avoid being programmed, essentially. And that's what all of this mind control stuff comes down to. Now, speaking of programming, there is one other form of mind control that I have a lot of experience with myself. And again, I've spoken about this before, but I'm able to do this myself. I don't like to, and I try really hard not to, but sometimes it ends up happening because, well, I was trained in how to do it. But that's neuro-linguistic programming. With neuro-linguistic programming, it's much more subtle than a lot of the other forms of propaganda and mind control that are out there. But just because it's subtle doesn't mean that it's not powerful. If you watch any speeches by politicians or CEOs or anything along those lines, you're essentially being programmed whether you like it or not and whether you realize it or not. It's not that difficult to do, and they are very adept at it. With neuro-linguistic programming, you might not be – it might not be potent enough to essentially change a personality, but – it is potent enough to get people to steer in one direction or another, whichever way you are looking to favorably do. So an example would be if you want to have somebody think a certain way about your politics, you can do neuro-linguistic programming on the person and they will essentially follow your politics, or at least be a lot softer towards them than they would have been before you did the NLP on them. So that's just one example. Again, you can go into my archives, and I actually teach people in my archives how to do the neuro-linguistic programming. I definitely think that you guys should take a listen, because it is something that they are very good at doing. They love to do it. They do it constantly. I refuse to watch any speeches by any politicians just because I know how the stuff works and I know that they are very good at doing it, and I don't want to be programmed myself. So, as I said, basically controlling someone else's mind is ridiculously easy to do. It really is. I mean, colors, sounds, symbols, all of these things are in a big way controlling you. I mean, what do you think the educational system is there to do? It's there to program and control. It's there to indoctrinate people into whatever mindset the government or the state or whatever you want to refer to them as want you to be under. Again, it's ridiculously easy to do. It reminds me so much of the movie They Live. In that movie, you know, you've got the whole obey, buy, consume, all of these things on all of the billboards, all of the subtle subliminal advertising that's going on, and the guy comes along with his shades on and can see through everything.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Yeah, I've been out of bubblegum for a long time. I am definitely here to reveal the information that they don't want you to hear. When we come back from the break, I'm going to get into the things that they don't want you to hear about. I'm going to get into the actual government mind control programs. And we're going to talk quite a bit about the stuff that has been going on for a number of years now. And some of it is pretty scary, but you know, it has to be talked about. So stick around with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Are you tired of shows about bogus photographs of guinea pigs on Mars or fake photos of Bigfoot in the woods? How about fake paranormal shows that don't actually discuss the paranormal or believe that every object they see in the sky must be extraterrestrial? How about big networks that use alternative news to promote their mainstream agenda, political shows that are one-sided, or shows that claim to know exactly what is happening for ratings, even though an event just broke in the news? Me too. At The Secret Teachings, we are not like any of those other shows. We cover any topic from symbolism to ancient history and from health to the occult, including the paranormal, but we don't just jump on board with every photograph of an orb or sample of Bigfoot hair. We have no political affiliations, no religious backing, and no financial backing. We want proof, and not someone's word. If you want proof, or at least a different perspective from a host that can both accept or deny all points of view and all pieces of evidence, without holding onto a preconditioned belief or looking for evidence to support a prior conclusion, someone who can even admit when they're wrong, then check out The Secret Teachings Radio Show. Airtimes and free downloads are available by visiting www.thesecretteachings.info. That's thesecretteachings.info. I'm your host, Ryan Gable, and I hope that you will join us. Namaste.
The new priests are the purveyors of the now. The, if you don't get this right now, you are doomed mindset that is surrounding us was created by these men in black, these dark masters, these puppet masters that control the strings. They, the ones with the real knowledge of how reality works, those that know and understand the origins of us, those are the ones controlling the masses through the media, through the politics, through everything that causes us to be divided, losing the sense of what is really real. That reality is that we are all connected, all together in this thought experiment that the universe is running. We are intimately connected together, forever traveling through the universe at light speed. We're all breathing the same air, the same energies pass through us, the same emotions that you feel are the same emotions that I feel. We are all one. Stop being divided by them. Stop letting the priests of chaos and blight rule you. Stop believing the lies. There are days that the red pill is bitter in my stomach, but I can't get it back out. I think because I have to. I speak because I have no choice. I walk through this dark age we're in with open eyes. Listen to Open Eyes on LateNightInTheMidlands.com. And together, maybe we won't stumble and fall. The Late Night in the Midlands Radio Network is deeply devoted to you, the listener. We feel it is necessary to bring you all of the information that you can use in your life. Each and every day, you will find something to listen to here. And whether you come away from the shows informed, inspired, or entertained, it is our passion. We don't bow to corporations, and we don't have handlers to tell us what not to talk about. We bring you everything. Late Night in the Midlands, however, is fully listener-supported. We need your help to stay on the air and to make sure that we get the bills paid. We need your help to keep the truth alive. If you feel that you have gotten anything out of Late Night in the Midlands, we would appreciate your support. You can become a subscriber and help us out on a monthly basis, or if you'd like, a one-time donation is fully appreciated as well. Every year, the average household in America spends over $3,000 on entertainment alone. If you could help us with just a tiny fraction of that amount, you would make all of the difference. Go to LateNightInTheMidlands.com and click on the subscribe button. Thank you. And as always, keep yourself informed.
We hit him up in the cell window.
Wait a minute. What are you talking about?
We bugged Mr. Blake's cell.
You what?
We bugged the cell with Arnold's tape recorder. Just listen to this, Paul.
I can't listen to that.
But, Paul.
Opie, I can't listen to that. I'm not permitted.
But, Paul, you don't understand.
Opie, I can't listen to this. Now, I told you about eavesdropping.
But, Paul, this is different.
Yes, it's worse. You overheard a conversation that was supposed to be private. Now, I can't be a party to that.
But, Paul, if you just listen to this...
Opie, I can't listen.
Paul, you're erasing the tape.
That's what I mean to do. You bugged a conversation between a lawyer and his client. Now, that's violating one of the most sacred rights of privacy.
But, Paul...
No buts.
But if it helps the law...
Opie, the law can't use this kind of help. Because whether a man is guilty or innocent, we have to find that out by due process of law.
Well, hello there, everyone. Welcome back to Open Eyes. My name is Ira, and I want to thank you guys for sticking around through that break. Before we continue on, I want to give a quick shout out to my radio listeners out there. Give a thank you to Michael Vera at Late Night in the Midlands. I love you guys over there. Thank you so much for picking us up first and for continuing to be patient with us as we've gone through all of the changes that we've gone through with the show. And just thank you for being such a welcoming person and a welcoming network. I definitely can't thank you enough. K98 Talk, thank you guys over there so much for running our shows as well. You guys are awesome. And I'm so grateful to be able to have the opportunity to speak to a lot more people than I had before. And I hope that all of you guys out there, I hope that every one of you gets something out of my shows and basically either runs with and researches or comes to a deeper understanding about things or whatever the case may be. Just thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. I'm grateful. Thank you for letting me come into your consciousness once again. So I wanted to talk a little bit more about mind control, and especially in relation to the alphabet agencies. Now, I will touch on the subject here real fast as well, though, that, you know, nothing really kind of holds a candle to the ability of religious institutions to do mind control. And that's kind of a subject in and of itself. That's sort of an episode of a show in and of itself, because there really is a lot of stuff that goes on with it all. But in relation to mind control, I can't really, you know, touch on that subject without at least bringing that up. The religious institutions out there, they really do have a deep affinity and affiliation with controlling people's minds and controlling people's actions and the way that they do things. Nothing really holds a candle to it. Now, I'm not really going to go too in-depth with it because, as I said, again, it's sort of a show in and of itself, and I'll probably talk about it at some point real soon because I think that it is an important one. But one thing I want to make sure to make clear is that when it comes to religion, what other people do with religion is not necessarily what you do with religion. So whenever I talk about religion in those kind of terms, I never really intend to make anyone feel rotten about their religion or what they're following or anything along those lines. Cause you know, hey, what is what is, and whatever is your thing, and whatever trips your trigger, then go for it. You know, as long as you're happy with it and you're going whole hog with it, then hey, great. That's what it's meant for. So just wanted to talk about that real quick. Now, as far as the alphabet agencies goes, and again, I would talk more about the religious portion of things more in depth, but there really is so much more that goes on with it. And I really want to touch the CIA's operations, the NSA's operations, the FBI's operations, just because, again, there's a lot of territory to cover and we only have a limited amount of time basically to bring you as much information as we can each time that we do a show. Now, there are programs that are out there that have been put on by the alphabets. There actually are quite a number of them. And some of them we've been able to be made aware of either through whistleblowers that have come out and revealed the information, or through things like the Freedom of Information Act requests, which they're trying to stop, right? I mean, they're really trying to hammer down on not revealing any kind of information through the FOIAs. Hopefully they don't take it away from us entirely, because it's kind of our safety net, essentially. That's how we get everything out that we can. But I wanted to bring a list of ones that I've found over the years for you guys so that you could have an understanding of how these things really work and just how extensive and really, when it comes down to it, horrible these things really are. They're rather scary. So the first one that we have is Project Moonstruck. Now, I don't know if this is the first one that they ever did. I really doubt it. But Excuse me. But this one was put on by the CIA in 1952-ish. That's when it got its start. The way that this one worked was that they would do electronic implants in brains and teeth of the subjects that were under Project Moonstruck. They had basically a long-range targeting in mind with it. So these electronic implants would actually be implanted during surgery or in some of the paperwork and documents that's been released, they would do it in secret after abducting people, essentially. Now, this could be in relation to the abduction phenomenon with aliens and UFOs and all of that. It very well could be related that they were abducted and then essentially their minds were programmed to think that it was aliens that did it. Now, I'm not saying that all abductees are subject to this type of thing. I do believe that there have been actual abductions by aliens here. But this is, in this case, the ones who were under Project Moonstruck, they were not abducted by aliens. They were abducted by essentially the CIA. The way that they did things basically was, or the reason why they did things, sorry, is because they wanted to institute mind and behavioral control. And they would do that through conditioning or programming. And essentially, they would do it through what's called the HF or ELF frequency ranges. So high frequency or extra low frequency ranges would be used to send the transmissions or the signals out to people. Now, Project Moonstruck is interesting with a lot that's still not really known about it. But the things that I just said, if you kind of understand the meaning behind them, are kind of scary, right? We're talking implants that are inserted into the brain and in the teeth. The teeth are actually kind of important with all of this. This is the only project that I've run across that clearly states that teeth were being used to control the mind of the person that was their subject. There are a lot of other projects that I've had information access to, and the teeth, this one is the only one that mentions teeth specifically as being targeted. So, you know, a long time ago, dental fillings were really magnetic. They had quite a few magnetic materials that were in them. And with a lot of the mind control projects that were during that time, and especially nowadays as well, there's evidence that that the electromagnetic structure of things was being manipulated. Extremely low frequencies were used in the early 1940s, basically, to begin with. And they are still used today, actually, with experiments that go from, you know, mind control to the manipulation of the aurora borealis and HARP and all of that kind of stuff. All of those are tied into the extremely low frequencies or the extra low frequencies. There would need to be a lot more power in the in those kind of frequencies for people to be able to receive a message. And that's where the electromagnetic field comes into play. Electromagnetism was used to boost the signals of these frequencies or boost the strength of these frequencies. And in this way, the implants themselves would not have to be magnetic, really. All it would need to possess would be magnetic properties for it to work. And, well, dental fillings in the past, and actually some today, can and still do work
with this type of experiment. You know, dental fillings used to be made with mercury, copper, silver, tin, all of those kind of things. And if you think about it, actually, a lot of people in the general population of the United States, as well as around the world, do have at least one filling in their mouth, right? So this would kind of be a really good way for them to cause this type of mind control situation to happen. The teeth do more than just, you know, chew food and that type of thing. They also help us pronounce our words. They vibrate when we walk, when we speak, all of that kind of stuff. All of those things, they're very different when people have false teeth, for instance. The vibrations are a lot different, and it's really noticeable because the natural tooth vibrates in a different way, basically, than a false tooth does. So if you have like a false tooth as a bridge, you can notice definitely a difference with it all. So again, the Moonstruck Project, having the teeth involved, that one I think is actually really important because I do think that they at least still have the capability of manipulating people in that way. Now, the next one that I have is, of course, Project MK Ultra, which was started in 1953 or so by the CIA. A lot of people are familiar with MK Ultra, and they did this one basically through drugs, electronics, and electroshock therapy. They would do manipulation basically through subjecting the subjects to extreme shock, basically, not just through electroshock therapy, but also through the drugs. They would wear the person down in a big way. They would do it to essentially create a cyborg type of mentality. They would do programming by suggestion, essentially. They would, you know, literally program a person's behavior. They could change a person's entire personality through this program. They also called it in some documents Project Artichoke. Now, we're really stepping up our game with this one because, you know, they're trying to find other ways basically to do things in a really major way. So instead of just changing people's maybe perceptions of things or kind of maybe put a voice into somebody's head or something like this, with this, they are radically changing the entire personality of people. I mean, this is pretty heavy duty stuff, you know. Now they have released the frequencies that this project basically was kind of focusing on. They would do this through VHF and UHF. So you have the television frequencies right there, you see, or at least what used to be the television frequencies. Nowadays, they've gone to digital, and that is going to be covered here in a little while. But, you know, for basically all of television's existence up until recently, it was either through the UHF or VHF. So this is actually more than a coincidence, you know? I mean, you have the creation of cyborg mentalities and narcoleptic trances and programming by suggestion. I mean, this is pretty amazing stuff. And if you think about it, that's exactly what people are like when they watch television, especially for any kind of extended length of time. If you watch the television for more than an hour, you're essentially in that sort of cyborg or narcoleptic kind of a trance when you're watching it. And when you are watching it and you're in that state of mind, you know, that kind of hypnagogic, again, state of being, you are really easily programmed. So anything that comes on the screen, anything that comes along, you're susceptible to. So this is why I talk about this stuff, right? Because if you're watching this, you know, something on your screen, you're sitting there watching the television. Let's say you've devoted an hour and a half to a movie or an extended period of time to TV shows or something like that. You're sitting there in this kind of state of mind, this trance state of mind, and a commercial comes on. Let's just take the commercialism aspect of it for a minute. A commercial can come on, and it's for Twinkies. And now you may not like Twinkies, you may not care for them, but you know, in a couple of days, maybe all of a sudden you're going to have a craving for Twinkies, and you're not going to know why. It's just going to be there and you're going to be like, hey, yeah, I really could go for a Twinkie right now. And that's just the positive, quote unquote, aspects of it, let alone any of the really serious stuff that could be done with this type of mind control technology. I mean, this is some serious stuff, you know? So electroshock therapy would be used with this project, along with other projects as well, but it was especially prevalent with this one, because with electroshock therapy, after a person has had the electroshock, they're essentially, they found that people that experience electroshock therapy, they experience a period of severe amnesia for a period of time afterwards. It's just kind of a natural side effect of the electroshock. So when they would do the electroshock to the people that were the subjects of MK Ultra, essentially what they would do is they would short circuit the person's brain, short circuit their personality, and essentially give them amnesia there, subject them to drugs, especially hallucinogenic drugs. They would make them dependent upon the agents that were in control of this this experiment, and they would have a it's an extension of the Stockholm syndrome, essentially, where the person would be so deeply then devoted to the person who has rescued them from their trauma that has happened, and a new personality can be overlaid on the one that was removed. And then another one can be programmed on top of that one as well. Now, the CIA was able to confirm that they were able to make people forget through hypnosis, and that they were able to control them over the phone. And this was part of the experiments that went on with this control. This is from the pages of the CIA documents. This is from CIA document number 190684, pages 1 and 4. Control of those hypnotized can be passed from one individual to another without great difficulty. It has also been shown by experimentation with these girls, who were the ones that were the subjects of this particular paperwork, that they can act as unwilling couriers for information purposes. So this is from the 7th of January, 1953. The title of it is Outline of Special H Cases. Now, special H cases means these are the people that were under hypnosis. In a general request for volunteers, deleted names volunteered for H, or hypnosis experimentation, and were originally tested on 21st May, 1951. Both girls at this time were 19 years of age. These subjects have clearly demonstrated that they can pass from a fully awake state to a deep hypnotized controlled state via the telephone, via some very subtle signal that cannot be detected by other persons in the room, and without the other individuals being able to note the change. It has been shown clearly that physically individuals can be induced into H by telephone, by receiving written matter, or by the use of code, signal, or words. Control of those hypnotized can be passed from one individual to another without great difficulty. It has also been shown by experimentation with these girls that they can act as unwilling couriers for information purposes, and that they can be conditioned to a point where they believe a change in identity on their part, even on the polygraph. Now, that's some pretty amazing revelatory information right there. This is, you know, not only could they be controlled by physical objects, but they could be controlled by something that they couldn't even see. In a CIA document 190691, pages 1 and 2, titled Hypnotic Experimentation and Research from the 10th of February, 1954, this paper reads, a post-hypnotic of the night before, pointed finger, you will sleep, was enacted. Mrs. Deleted and Deleted immediately progressed to a deep hypnotic state with no further suggestion. Miss Deleted was then instructed, having previously expressed a fear of firearms in any fashion, that she would use every method at her disposal to awaken Miss Deleted, now in a deep hypnotic sleep, and failing this, she would pick up a pistol nearby and fire it at her. She was instructed that her rage would be so great that she would not hesitate to kill her or for failing to awaken. She carried out these suggestions to the letter, including firing the unloaded pneumatic pistol at the other girl, and then proceeding to fall into a deep sleep. After proper suggestions were made, both were awakened and expressed complete amnesia for the entire sequence. Miss Deleted was again handed the gun, which she refused, in an awakened state, to pick up or accept from the operator. She expressed absolute denial that the foregoing sequence had happened. She felt reluctant about participating further, since she expressed her doubt as to any useful purpose in further attendance. The operator thereupon proceeded, in full view of all the other subjects, to explain to her that he had planned to induce a deep state of hypnosis now. The reaction was as had been expected. She excused herself to make a telephone call. Upon her return, a very positive approach was adopted by the operator, whereupon a deeper, much deeper state of hypnosis was obtained. Immediately, a post-hypnotic was induced that when the operator accidentally dropped a steel ball in his hand to the floor, she would again go into hypnosis. She then advised that she must conclude her work for the evening. She arose to adjust her hair before the mirror. The ball was dropped, and she promptly slumped back into the chair and back into hypnosis. It is the opinion of the operator that Miss Deleted, if properly trained, with a positive approach, will continue to improve. Now, again, how scary is that information? This girl, who was terrified of guns, hated them, is put into a hypnotic state, and then uses a gun without any questions asked. Hypnosis is again used, and this time a metal ball is dropped, and it triggers the hypnosis again and the awakening. I mean, this is really, really disturbing stuff. She denied everything. This is really important because, you know, the idea of the Manchurian candidate is that this person who is caught, you know, would be able to deny anything and everything. They would have literally no knowledge of anything that they had gone through. So the next one I have for you guys is MK Delta. MK Delta was in 1960 by the CIA. This one was basically electromagnetic subliminal programming that went on. And it was again through VHF and UHF and modulated ELF and that sort of thing. This was done through television antennas, radio antennas, power lines, mattress spring coils, and 60 hertz wiring as well. So with this one, their intention was to program behavior and attitudes in the general population. What they found was the effects on people would be fatigue, mood swings, behavioral dysfunctions, and social criminality, as well as mood swings. Now, this one was also known as Deep Sleep, Project Deep Sleep. This one is rather disturbing because its purpose was to control the general population, not just one or two individuals. Not by changing them into some kind of mind-controlled zombies, but by programming their behavior and different attitudes. So if they wanted a criminal, for instance, they could create one through television antennas, radio antennas, power lines, the bed that they were sleeping on. You know, I mean, all of these things have some really deeply disturbing implications. Project Phoenix 2 was in 1983. It was put on by the United States Air Force in conjunction with the NSA. This one was known as Project Montauk as well. This one was for the multi-directional targeting of selected population groups. This one was done through radio, EHF, UHF, and microwaves. This one was to essentially program the population at large for sensitized individuals to react in certain ways. It was to kind of, I guess, it kind of had a dual purpose. It was not only for population control, but also for controlling the earthquake grids, essentially, and through the electronic the extra low frequencies and that sort of thing, either stave off or create earthquake projects, on and on and on. This one was a really major one, and I thought that the name, you know, people call it Montauk, but the reason why I see the other name as being more appropriate or more important to look at is the name Phoenix 2. So implying that they had a Phoenix program before this. But the Phoenix is a symbol of rebirth, you see. It's a symbol of when the Phoenix lives for 500 years, dies, and then is reborn out of its ashes. So with the name, you know, again, words are symbolic. Words are important. With the name, I think that is what something that people really need to pay attention to, as opposed to constantly calling it the Project Montauk and that kind of thing. I think that actually does a disservice. And I think that actually is part of the disinfo that goes on with this particular program, which there is a lot of, folks. So the Phoenix 2 project, it was reactivated in 1988, and a phase of the project was carried out at Camp Hero until 1992. There are indications that security had then become excessively problematic, as the first Montauk Project book by Nichols and Moon had been published, and curiosity seekers and others were becoming far too prevalent and nosy. There are other rumors of conflicts among different groups over the use of the facility, and in 1993, the Montauk Project moved out. The project was eventually reorganized at Robins Air Force Base near Atlanta. However, after a period of time, it seems project directors realized that that certain aspects of the project just couldn't be implemented adequately other than at Camp Hero, due, it would seem, likely to the geomagnetic characteristics of Montauk. Additionally, directorship of the Montauk project appears to have shifted to the Navy at this time, as has occurred with HAARP. A linking of some elements to the Montauk project to HAARP, previously often suspected and which may have already existed, has now been proved to be underway at the Camp Hero location. I'm going to have a link to the article that talks about that in specific, and it's very interesting information about how it's tied together with all of that stuff. You guys definitely should check it out. Now, I'm running short on time, so I'm just going to run through a couple more here real quick. There's Project Trident, which was in 1989 by the NSA. This one is to target individuals and populations through electromagnetic means. This one is done when large population groups are assembled, so at protests and such. This is where the black helicopters coming in on the crowds and that kind of thing comes into play, especially when there are three of them as a trident. In other words, the triple effect. So this one is used for large group management and behavior control and riot control. And you can see this one very prevalently used today. So one other thing as well, RF Media, 1990 by the CIA. This one was directed for multidirectional subliminal suggestion and programming, located in Boulder, Colorado as its home base. And this one is targeting the national population of the United States. The implementation of it is through television and radio communications, and it's programming and triggering behavioral desires, subversion of psychic abilities of the population, and preparatory processing for mass electromagnetic control. This one is also known as Project Buzzsaw. Now, very interesting in that statement, subversion of psychic abilities of populations. That's interesting. I mean, why is that a big deal, right? Well, Japanese researchers have reproduced images of things that people were looking at by analyzing brain scans, opening the way for people to communicate directly from their mind. They hope their study, published in the U.S. Journal of Neuron, will lead to helping people with speech problems or doctors studying mental disorders, although there are privacy issues if it gets to the stage where someone can read a sleeping person's dreams. So... one statement in this article is, as accuracy rises, it's possible that information that people want to keep private could also be visualized while they're sleeping. I'm going to have links to even more of these things for you guys to look at on my show notes for this show. There are a lot of them. I have quite a few more for you guys that I'm just not going to have the time to get to today, unfortunately. But I want to point out some of the last ones. They're all about emotional control and all of that kind of thing. And, you know, we see right now, especially in the nation today, we see a large cutoff of people from their emotional content. You know, people are so, I guess you could say, down. People are so... pushed down that they no longer feel emotional. You know, they're very incapable of emotional control. And I wonder how much of these projects that are out there are involved directly with causing exactly that to happen. It's very disturbing. Again, go to my website and look at the show notes for this show, and you'll see a lot of info there. I'll have the links to all of these things. I'll have the links to all of the papers that I talked about, as well as all the news stories that I talked about today. So again, guys, unfortunately, I am out of time. I wish I had more with you, but, you know, got to do what I got to do. So if you want to go to the show notes for this show, they will be at openeyesnetwork.com/OE086. I definitely recommend going there and taking a look. You're going to see all kinds of interesting stuff there. Now, if you want to send me an email, you can send it to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com. I welcome any and all communications with you guys. I love hearing from you, and I've received a lot of really good feedback so far. Let me know what you think of this show. Let me know what you think of anything that I talk about with anything. And if you have a topic that you'd like to suggest, please do so. Also, if you're interested in appearing on my show as a guest, please don't hesitate to contact me as well. We can definitely schedule something together for it. Now, if you want to go to my Facebook or Twitter, you can go to Open Eyes Network or Ira Robinson on both of those platforms. I'm readily available for all of you guys to contact and get a hold of. So on Wednesday, I will be back here again, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on LateNightInTheMidlands.com. I will be talking about UFOs and the UFO files and revealing a lot of really good information to you guys. I think you guys are going to get a big kick out of this episode. on Friday, I'm going to be talking about the old world order versus the new world order. And again, something very interesting that I think you guys will get a lot out of. Make sure you stick around. Michael Vera will bring you Late Night in the Midlands in just a few minutes. Again, be sure to tune in on Wednesday, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, latenightinthemidlands.com. Keep safe out there, guys, and have fun. And thank you so much for listening.